It's Tuesday, May 19th. Here's what's happening in Northeast Indiana. The Allen County Juvenile Center announced the opening of an on-site Little Free Courthouse Library as part of a collaboration with the Indiana Court of Appeals. Changes to Indiana's Medicaid payment agreements have been approved by the federal government. And Fort Wayne police officers shot and killed a man in the 1800 block of Howell Avenue Monday afternoon. I'm Brianna Barrow, and this is Who and What. The Allen County Juvenile Center announced the opening of an on-site Little Free Courthouse Library as part of a collaboration with the Indiana Court of Appeals. The initiative will provide free books for children and families visiting the Allen County Juvenile Justice Center. Allen Superior Court Judge Brent Essenbarger of the Family Relations Division said that the library will encourage literacy at no cost to the community. The effort was inspired by a partnership with best-selling author Kim Michelle Richardson, who launched a Courthouses Reading Across Kentucky program to place books in courthouses and judicial facilities in Kentucky. Indiana Court of Appeals Chief Judge Elizabeth Tavitas said that after a meeting with Richardson, the state's higher courts were inspired to establish a library in every county in Indiana. The first Little Free Courthouse Library in Indiana was established in Gary. The Indiana Court of Appeals donated books to begin the Allen County collection. Changes to Indiana's Medicaid payment agreements have been approved by the federal government. WFYI's Jill Sheridan reports the new payment structures aim to drive down costs at hospitals.
Indiana hospitals historically have had high commercial costs. The new payment methods will address Medicaid reimbursement shortfalls and bring in additional federal funding. Hospitals with lower commercial prices will receive larger Medicaid increases, and hospitals with higher prices will get smaller increases. The changes could help hospitals in rural areas that already charge lower prices but operate on tight margins. A press release from Governor Mike Braun's office said the move will deliver an additional $177 million to rural hospitals. The changes impact two different state payment programs. One assesses hospital payments and maximizes federal funds. The other directs state payments to set Medicaid increases. I'm Jill Sheridan in Indianapolis.
Fort Wayne police officers shot and killed a man in the 1800 block of Howell Avenue Monday afternoon. Fort Wayne Police Chief P.J. Smith said in a statement that the man inside the house was reportedly experiencing a mental health crisis and was possibly armed with a firearm. Police had responded to the home at least three times for similar reasons over the past few days. Smith said multiple attempts to de-escalate and communicate with the man were unsuccessful, and additional specialized units were deployed. These include the emergency services team and the crisis response team. The man was seen lying on the floor just inside the front door of the home. While the CRT made attempts to communicate with him, they were also working with a local hospital and mental health court to have the man taken into custody for a mental health evaluation. According to Smith, the man opened the front door and pushed what appeared to be a rifle toward officers. Several officers fired at the man. Medical crews provided aid, but he was pronounced dead at the scene. Smith said the department's goal from the beginning was a peaceful resolution, but the situation escalated with the presentation of the rifle. The president of Purdue University is stepping down to take another post. Meng Chang will take the helm at Northwestern University in July. WFYI's Dylan Pierce McCoy has more.
Meng Chang has been Purdue's president for just over 3 years. He's been a leader at the university for nearly a decade. Chang previously served as dean of the College of Engineering and the executive vice president for strategic initiatives under former Purdue president Mitch Daniels. A trained electrical engineer, Chang's research focused on computer networking. Chang will leave Purdue, which has more than 58,000 students and is one of the state's flagship institutions, for Northwestern, a private Illinois university less than half its size. I'm Dylan Pierce McCoy in Indianapolis.
The Purdue board plans to name an interim president while searching for Chang's replacement. The Allen County Plan Commission and Zoning Board will both consider a large quarry project being proposed in southwest Allen County next week. WBOI's Ella Abbott explains what the project would bring to the area and why it's received such strong opposition from neighbors.
The proposal submitted by U.S. Aggregates, a subsidiary of Indianapolis-based Heritage Group, would develop more than 800 acres between Homestead and Yanni Roads. But that proposal requires the property be rezoned. The company will need the county to rezone 186.2 acres for intensive industrial use and 203.1 acres to a shopping center designation. The area was chosen due to a large limestone deposit under the site. Several other quarries have been in operation in that area, with a likely limestone vein connecting all the sites running southwest from Fort Wayne. U.S. Aggregates submitted its proposal to the Department of Planning Services at the beginning of March. Since the initial proposal, multiple community stakeholders, as well as a large group of residents in the area, have come out in opposition to the quarry. The Southwest Allen County Schools Board passed a unanimous resolution to oppose the project, citing concerns about student health and safety. In a letter included with the initial proposal, the company's lawyers at Barrett McNagney stated the company, quote, had preliminary discussions with the Little River Wetlands Project concerning the conveyance of some portion of the land to the LRWP to help create various nature preserves. A month later, the LRWP put out a statement staunchly opposing the quarry, saying, quote, it takes away the opportunity to restore this land to the vital wetland ecosystems that benefit us all. IU Health, who's building a new hospital campus about a mile away from the proposed site, also sent out a statement opposing the quarry in late March. It read, quote, the rock quarry, as we understand it, will introduce significant industrial activity, such as blasting, that could impact patient safety, healing, and healthcare equipment. In April, U.S. Aggregates and the Heritage Group invited residents to an information session on the quarry, an attempt to answer questions and address concerns. Two slides specifically showed places where other quarries coexist with hospitals and schools. In the initial plan, the commercial district on the land is proposed for developing hotels, restaurants, professional offices, and shops. Before the meeting in April, the Vice President of External Affairs for the Heritage Group, Megan Savage, said the mining industry is heavily regulated and monitored.
We comply with and exceed all of those regulations and take that very seriously. Both the health of our employees and the communities where we operate is top of mind and importance for us.
But none of this has been enough for many neighbors in the area. The site is on the other side of a railroad track and a highway from the East and West Hamlets neighborhoods, but it's still less than half a mile away. Residents have formed the aptly named group, No Quarry on Homestead, which is opposing the quarry for a handful of reasons, but the highlights are concerns about property taxes, noise and air pollution, and environmental harm. After the public meeting offered by the Heritage Group, one member of the opposition group, Steve McLean, said the company chose the site for the empty land, without regard for the people living around it.
The Hamlets, Asbury Park, Manor Woods, all of those neighborhoods are going to be completely affected by this. So, quite honestly, it just doesn't belong here.
No Quarry on Homestead started a petition that, as of Friday afternoon, has nearly 11,000 signatures and a GoFundMe to pay for yard signs, marketing materials, and the possibility of legal counsel has raised nearly $13,000. The informational session in April lasted about 2 hours, with presentations from the Heritage Group, U.S. Aggregates, and the Indiana Department of Natural Resources. A 7-page handout from the company answered residents' questions, and representatives stuck around after to speak with people individually. But for Steve McLean, the meeting offered him some insight, and he says he learned a few things, but ultimately it didn't change his stance. As for what would need to happen for him to feel comfortable with the quarry.
Oh, that's an obvious question, and I'm happy to answer that, is move it. It needs to go somewhere else.
The Allen County Board of Zoning Appeals will consider the proposal from U.S. Aggregates at a special meeting on May 26th at 5:30 p.m., immediately followed by an Allen County Plan Commission public hearing for the rezoning at 6:30. The meetings will be held at the Coliseum to accommodate the anticipated crowd. For WBOI News, I'm Ella Abbott.
More news in a moment.
Paige and Dane Wilkins on how easy donating your vehicle to support WBOI is.
I just echo that. The process was really easy. He did most of it. It was my idea, I think. So, but he did most of it.
To donate your vehicle and support public audio today, go to wboi.org/car.
Here's what to know for today. The Allen County Election Board issued official final election results Friday afternoon. The final voter turnout number was 14.5%. The Indiana Supreme Court rejected a request to take up a challenge to the state's near-total abortion ban. And today is National Hepatitis Testing Day. Various nonprofits around Indiana are offering free testing throughout the day. That's Who and What for Tuesday, May 19th. These stories and more can be found at WBOI.org or on the WBOI app. Subscribe to Who and What on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can ask your smart speaker to play Who and What. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll also enjoy our newsletter, Frequency, at WBOI.org/frequency. Music for Who and What is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. From all of us at WBOI, thanks for being with us and have a great rest of your day.